Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the people, places, and issues that are important to you. And today we are very ecstatic, I think, to ring out 2020. Although there have been very many positives, there has certainly been a large cloud hanging over many people for these many months. We're talking about the coronavirus pandemic. Many people dealing with illness, dealing with deaths. And certainly the business impact has been huge. The impact, too, on our nonprofits. They have seen a remarkable impact because a lot of the ways of their normal way of doing business have been curtailed because of coronavirus restrictions. So let's talk about one of the nonprofits that exists in this area to give back. It's called the Give ! Campaign. It is a year-end philanthropic initiative created to encourage everyone in the Pikes Peak region to just dig a little deeper, to give back, and get involved with local nonprofits, with an emphasis on catalyzing philanthropy from those who are maybe not thinking about it as much, those who are in the younger years of their career, 36 and younger. Since 2009, Give has enabled 223 local nonprofits to raise $13 million from over 94,000 donations while helping them access matching grants, get media exposure, and find training, capacity building training from local and regional experts. It's the nonprofit civic arm of the Colorado Publishing House, our colleagues in this journalism business, and get support from the Colorado Springs Independent, the CS Business Journal, and the Pikes Peak Bulletin. And we just want to thank our guests today. Our guests today include Tim Krantz, board chair of the Give campaign, as well as Tanya Nifong, the ARC of the Pikes Peak region's director. And what's your official title, Tanya?
Communications manager.
Communications manager. I almost gave you a promotion to executive director. Your boss probably would have been going, not quite yet. Tim and Tanya, thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
You bet. And later on in the show, we're going to also be hearing from the founding director of the Youth Documentary Academy, Tom Shepherd, also talking about all of the efforts that have been going on and how the Give campaign really contributes to their lifeline. But first, let's start with Tim. Tim, as a fellow journalist, I know that what you're doing, because all of us are very consumed with our journalism job, but for the Indie Gives group to be coming together to do this is something very important. What is the Give campaign and who is it serving?
Well, you said it so well in your introduction that the goal of the Give campaign is just to raise awareness of the nonprofit groups in the Pikes Peak region. And so to get together different media partners, the different nonprofits, to train the nonprofits and how to get the word out about what their goal is, their mission, their passion, and to raise awareness of that, and then to partner with the social groups so that they also can get together in the campaign to get donations towards that passion and how they contribute in the Pikes Peak region.
Right, because some of these efforts, I know over the years, you know, they start out, they may be siloed, they may not understand, you know, the interplay that goes on. And really, by, I guess, coordinating in a campaign like this, you end up being able to maximize the donations of people who are really doing their part to either give of money or of time.
Yeah, in so many different ways. A lot of times it can just be with the nonprofits not knowing that there are other nonprofits that they might be able to partner with in different projects. That oftentimes, like in the campaign for raising awareness, is that they'll have in the past, which obviously we can't do this year, is we'd have events where 2, 3, 5 nonprofits would get all their folks together and have kind of a big party about what their nonprofit is doing to contribute to the region and get the people who are supporting one nonprofit aware of another. So you have a nice symmetry going on and a synergy between them.
Yeah, synergy. It's a word that kind of was a buzzword, I think, at the turn of the century, but it really, there's a lot to be said for it. And there's a reason why it became a buzzword. What are some of the benefits of donating in the Give campaign?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, I guess we could talk about it from the financial standpoint, is that we're hitting the end of the year. And for those of us that are lucky enough to not have been hugely financially impacted in this really challenging year, it's a way to help out with your taxes. But I think more importantly than that is that there are a lot of people that are really struggling this year, that there's shortages in housing, shortages in food, such a need for mental health care. And the Give campaign is a good medium to look and see some of the nonprofits that are supporting these different needs in our community.
And COVID, we know, has affected so many aspects of our community. Has the Give campaign been affected by COVID too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a huge part of the campaign is the events where we can get people together and help to educate folks about the different nonprofits and raise the excitement about building up that nonprofit, both through donations and volunteer time. And obviously this year, all that needs to go online. So that's a big challenge. Mm-hmm. And the nonprofits themselves, their capacity, they're really stretched thin because the demands on many of them are quite high, higher than in so many other years, especially the food banks and the mental health care and affordable housing. And so it's a challenge. And they have to work just like all of us in terms of how many people can they have in a given space, making sure they're adhering to safety protocols. And the stress that they're under themselves dealing with the COVID epidemic.
Because some of them have had to change their operations completely in the way that they're able to address. I'm thinking some of the social service programs, you know, that help the homeless, that help those with food insecurity. Those have been impacted greatly in how they can interact with the public.
Yeah, and we've had a couple that were big ones in town that have had to close their doors. Two that come to mind are TUCOR and Ecumenical Social Ministries, were because of COVID and because of the finances, but caused them to close their doors potentially permanently.
And they also sometimes rely on volunteers who may be in that at-risk age group, you know, the older people who have a little bit more free time on their hands. And if you're in that age group, a lot of people have definitely shut down their activities that might expose them to COVID risks. They can't get out and do those volunteer work that they are used to doing. Let's talk about how local businesses can benefit from and get involved in the Give campaign.
That's one of the things that one thing that is in terms of donations to the campaign itself that helps for us to create matching grants. And that's a huge part of the campaign, is that we'll match up nonprofits with businesses that are looking to donate and have matching grants, because that basically will double the donations to the nonprofit through that. We also have rewards partners, and you don't give to get, but it helps. It helps to build people up to a higher level, that if I donate, if I go up another $20, I'm going to get free beers at Bristol. And so it's always a huge boost when we have our local business saying, like, yeah, we want to contribute to people giving to the community, so we'll give you these rewards for the campaign, promote further giving in the campaign.
Oh, I love those ideas. It's almost like the benefits you get from donating when it comes tax time, but those you have to think about in the future. And this would be immediate gratification.
Yeah.
Tim Krantz, we're going to ask you the question of how community members can get involved and how many nonprofits can actually be helped. We're going to be asking you that question after a short commercial break. We're also going to be bringing Tanya Nifong into the conversation to talk about the work of the Arc of the Pikes Peak region and how it benefits from the Give campaign. That's all coming up on The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra. We're talking about the Give campaign. Give with a big exclamation point at the end of it. I would like to put an exclamation point at the end of 2020. Be glad to ring out 2020 and ring in 2021. We all hope that change is around the corner. But even if there weren't change, I mean, giving to our nonprofits is a worthy endeavor regardless. And as we come up at the end of the year, it's an important time to be thinking about giving back. There are, of course, tax implications. There are also, some nice little perks that the Give Campaign can provide. Let's bring in our guests today. We have Tonya Nifong, who's going to be talking about the ARC, one of the nonprofits in our area. But first, let's go to my guest, Tim. And Tim, you were telling us just moments ago about, you know, things that people might not know about how to maximize their giving dollars. Why do you think it's important for the community to donate to some of these, 78 nonprofits that are benefiting from this campaign?
I think there's just so many needs that are in our community. And we touched on them a little bit earlier that especially this year, there's food insecurity, there's home insecurity. And then also just the mental health challenges this year. And when in the campaign, there's nonprofits that from animals and supporting the health of animals and people's ability to have their animals and take care of their animals to just straight up mental health care through therapy, that there's so many needs to be filled. And our nonprofits are one of the major fronts that are stepping in for that.
Right. And we should mention the IndieGive.com website is where you need to go to find out more information. And this Give campaign is coordinated and has support, is the nonprofit civic arm, I should say, of the Colorado Springs Independent, the Colorado Springs Business Journal, and the Pikes Peak Bulletin, representing the journalistic efforts of folks in the community who really care about this community. And as a fellow journalist, I support all your efforts of the Give campaign, Tim Krantz, the board chair. And let's move to Tonya Nifong, who's the communications manager of the ARC of the Pikes Peak region. And Tonya, we know the ARC from its storefronts, but a lot of people may not know what those storefronts represent. What is the ARC of the Pikes Peak region? Really, you've been around for a long time.
Yeah, we have. Well, thank you again so much for having me on your show. We are the purpose behind the thrift stores, and we promote and protect the human rights of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And many people don't know it, but we've been here since 1955. We were started by a group of parents who wanted more for their children, and this was during a time when it was popular for doctors to encourage parents of kiddos with disabilities to put them in an institution. Well, these parents said, no, we want our kids to have more in life. We want them to be an active part of the community. So personally, I like to call our work the legacy of the mama bear. but really, we make sure that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities have what they need to succeed in our community.
And we're going to be talking about how the Give campaign contributes to your work. But let's talk a little bit about that work. What sort of services does the ARC offer?
Yeah, so we serve people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And if you're not familiar with that broad term, that includes people who are born with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism spectrum disorder, and a really, really wide range of other disorders that can happen. We help them navigate all areas of life, from education in the classroom, making sure that they have a plan that's in place to help them get their educational needs met. Sometimes, unfortunately, people with disabilities will get caught in the judicial system. If people have an IQ that's 70 or lower, they may have difficulty communicating with law enforcement officers, and vice versa. So our advocates will step in and make sure that everyone on both sides understands what's going on and make sure that, things go smoothly and due process is followed properly. And then we also have a guardianship program as well. And that is for adults who have IDD, intellectual and developmental disabilities, who are unable to be their own legal decision makers. Mm-hmm. So the ARC serves as their guardian, and we really try to cultivate relationships with them so that when we are making decisions, we are making it as the individual themselves would make that decision.
Wow, a lot of.
And then finally, you know, we can't forget the social events. So we have the best dances, I personally think, in Colorado Springs. We host 4 of them per year. And, you know, they're packed, 500 to 600 people. Of course, not during coronavirus, but it's just such a great time for people to come out and make friends. And we also provide other social and life skills events as well.
I was wondering how all these various cogs that are moving in the arc have been impacted, you know, jimmied up because of COVID and the protocols that had to go into place.
Yeah, so we weren't able to host in-person dances this year, but we did host some dances via Zoom, actually. And surprisingly, they were a lot of fun. People had so much fun. We did virtual gift card giveaways for dance contests and costume contests for Halloween dance. And yeah, so we really just tried to go the extra mile and make, you know, the virtual be as fun as it possibly could be for people.
Fantastic. And you recently finished construction on the Building for Change. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Building for Change is an inclusive personal development center, and we really want to bring people with who have disabilities together with people who do not have disabilities so that they can form relationships and connections. Building for Change is really exciting because it's a life skills campus, so people will have the opportunity to learn things like computer literacy and safety, social skills, fitness classes like yoga and dance. We also will have an amazing disability resource library that we are in the process of stocking right now. So parents who have a kiddo with a disability can come. They can gather together in the large, comfy armchairs, check out resources that they need, and really just find like-minded people who want, you know, their loved ones who have IDD to be able to function in the community and contribute to the community and just live a full life.
And can people who are not part of the population you serve, can they get involved in the Building for Change?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So we are actually, I'm glad you said that, we're looking for volunteers to teach those classes. So if there is somebody who has expertise in any of those areas, from computer, social skills, fitness, cooking classes, we have an adaptive kitchen with height adjustable oven ranges, so people who are in a wheelchair can learn how to cook. So if there's anyone in the community who would like to be, who would like to instruct any of those classes, they can contact the ARC.
That's fantastic. And we should mention that you can direct your giving dollars through the Give! Exclamation point campaign by going to indiegive.com/ARC, and that will get you an ARC, and that will get you right to the proper space. And there are matching grants that are available, so you'll be maximizing your dollars. Tanya Nifong, I wish we had more time right here in this segment, but we do need to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about this important campaign, how you can stretch your giving dollars, and what an important service you're doing for the nonprofits like the ARC of the Pikes Peak region in our community. That's when the extra continues. Well, in a year that has brought some discouraging news, no doubt, it's so encouraging and definitely hopeful to hear from Tanya Nifong with the ARC of the Pikes Peak region talking about the work that her organization, her nonprofit that she is a communications manager for, is able to do, that work continuing even during times when COVID protocols meant they couldn't gather. So instead of having in-person dances, like I've heard that are really fun times for the ARC folks, they actually did them virtually. So definitely a change for people, but that's one of the groups that benefits from the Give campaign, which is running through the end of the year. And another group that's here to talk about their efforts, and Tom Shepard, who's with the he's the founding director of the Youth Documentary Academy. Tom, tell us, this is something that a lot of people, it may fly under the radar. People may not be aware of this group. So tell us about it and why you started it in Colorado Springs.
Thank you, Shannon, for having us. It's a pleasure to be here. So we started the Youth Documentary Academy in 2013. Most of these kind of film arts or media training academies exist on the coast and in kind of bigger urban areas, and they're reserved mostly for kind of advantaged families. And so we wondered, you know, is there an appetite and an interest in Colorado Springs to create a professional training academy specifically for young people from kind of underrepresented backgrounds? And those folks who apply to get into the program really kind of see themselves as an access point to story. You know, documentary filmmaking is really 80% access. And so it's a great match, and we bring professional filmmakers out from California and New York, and we work with local filmmakers in Colorado. And each year, 12 young people are able to get into the program from all different schools and educational groups, and really produce a film about a social issue that kind of matters to them.
And I love how you're explaining it, because different viewpoints is really what the documentary, the journalism process is all about. So this is a cause that I fully am behind. What kinds of films do the youth in the program make, and how does it work? How do they get them made?
So our students make films really about a range of social and community issues. So films about race and racism, colorism, PTSD, what it's like growing up in a kind of a military family, gender and self-image, LGBTQ plus issues, adoption. You know, there have been a preponderance of films that have been made about teen mental health and teen suicide. And as you know, El Paso County and Colorado in general has a high incidence of teen suicide in the country. And so it's been really interesting to look at films and stories kind of through the lens of young people. And so most folks apply in the spring around March and April, and they go, through a fairly rigorous interviewing process in which we interview every candidate that applies. And then our filmmakers join us at the beginning of June, and by the end of the summer, they usually have a fine cut of their film.
Wow, and that continued during this COVID pandemic?
So actually, just as our matriculating class was starting, in the spring, the lockdown started to happen, and we realized that we were going to have to go online. So we taught our program last summer via Zoom, like many folks, and we weren't able to go out and, kind of do the production that we normally do. Filmmaking is pretty in your face and not very friendly to social distancing, but the students were able to really focus on story development, creating a story treatment and a film treatment, and we were able to meet once a week. Our site partner, Pikes Peak Community College, provided a really big kind of theater-style classroom, and we were able to kind of look at work and have some of our past alumni come and show their work. And it's, it just feels heartening right now, Shannon. It feels like the national discourse sometimes is bewildering, if not toxic. And these young people who come into our program, they're from really different backgrounds within their families, but they all come with sort of real respect for learning about the differences of others. And through this, that's what's so great about documentary film, is it's a really kind of non-threatening way to kind of start conversations about difficult issues. So even though we weren't able to, have our normal program, and even though we've taken a few hits financially from some of our funders because of COVID, we're still alive and kicking.
Well, love to hear that. And we know that there's an impact that's created. And there's also something that it sounds like a great partnership that the Youth Documentary Academy created a TV series that's on public TV, Rocky Mountain PBS. Tell us about this. It's called Our Time.
You bet. So we started this TV series last year. We realized now we have over 110 films that have been created in the YDA collection since we started. And so we started having some conversations with our partners at Rocky Mountain PBS and really produced a series. So it's 7 or 8 episodes per year. And each episode has 2 films made by YDA filmmakers that coalesce around a particular issue or topic. And so we had our first season. We've actually decided to make Our Time season 1 available online, especially because so many people are kind of sequestered at home these days. So if you go to youthdocumentary.org/ourtime, you can actually watch any of the episodes from our time, and we'll be launching season two next year in 2021 on Rocky Mountain PBS as well.
Wow. And speaking of the impact, you know, you said people really want to see these things. What kind of impact do you think the audiences are going to take away, and the filmmakers too, from these?
You know, Shannon, because the films are so personal, I would say 80% of them are first-person point-of-view films. There's a way the impact certainly on the individual filmmaker who's often taking an issue that might have been constraining in their life. It might have been something that was an Achilles heel or a very difficult family issue or community issue. And so by making the film, they're actually kind of working out some of these issues. And then often they become advocates for the very issues that were preventing them from succeeding. And so then when they show the film, we have a premiere every year, usually at the Fine Arts Center or Colorado College, 400 or 500 people come. Suddenly they're on this stage and they take the microphone and people really get engaged. And then you have folks who've maybe been through some of these same issues who want to reach out to the filmmaker. So there's an impact on the individual. And then I think audiences, including other youth, but certainly adults, kind of see these issues through the eyes of their kids, and it can be a really, really powerful conversation starter.
Kind of a catalyst for change, perhaps, and for offering more insight. I think it's wonderful, the work you're doing. Again, we're talking with Tom Shepherd, who's with the Youth Documentary Academy, the founder of it, the founding director of it. And we've been talking about how this is just one of the groups, the ARC, and more than 70 different nonprofits in our community that are benefiting from the Give campaign, the Indiegive campaign, that is really making a push for people to think about when you're making that philanthropic donation, or maybe you're just giving. It doesn't have to be a lot, $10, $5, $20. It all adds up, and that's why the Give campaign is a great one-stop shopping place for folks who want to find out more and who want to maximize their dollars. And I think doing online giving like this in some ways does open up the whole idea of charitable giving and philanthropy to a lot more people who may have never thought of it that way, and the groups they're going to help. If you would like to find out more about the Youth Documentary Academy, the website through IndieGive is indiegive.com/YDA. And there you can direct some of your giving dollars to this important work that's going on with the young people in our area. And as Tom mentioned, you can also go to youthdocumentary.org to find out more about the group, as well as going to youthdocumentary.org/ourtime to watch the Rocky Mountain PBS series called Our Time that YDA has created. Tom, thanks so much. Very interesting to hear about your group, and we hope that you get all the support you deserve.
Thank you, Shannon. Great to be here today.
You bet. When we come back with the Extra, we're going to be joined again by Tim Krantz, who's the the board chair of the Give campaign. And he's going to be telling us, we're going to wrap up with some comments about just why it's so important, and really about how their focus on young donors has an important message and trajectory. That's coming up as the Extra continues. Here on The Extra, we've been talking about some of the recipient organizations of the campaign that's known as the Give campaign, part of IndieGive. And we've been talking to Tom Shepherd with the Youth Documentary Academy, as well as earlier Tanya Nifong with the ARC of the Pikes Peak region. And both of those recipient organizations of some of the donor dollars that are coming through the Give campaign. Tim Krantz, who is the board chair of the campaign. Tim, tell us about the Young Donor Challenge and why the Give campaign has it.
Yeah, absolutely. A big part of the Give campaign is the Young Donor Challenge, having a focus on developing young donors. The Bloom Foundation has stepped up to provide basically prizes for a competition to the nonprofits that get the most donations from young donors. And the reason we do that is that when you build that habit of philanthropy early in life, people continue to do it. And so it just pays forward into our community to develop these young philanthropists.
And so how does it work? How does the challenge work?
So the challenge is that for the nonprofits that get the most donors between the ages of 13 to 36 to give to their campaign, then they become eligible for the grants from the Bloom Foundation. So it's $1,500 for the first nonprofit, $1,250 to the second, and $750 to the third. So it's just a friendly competition for that grant money to try and get as many young donors as we can.
Trying to mobilize the community of supporters into transferring their support into monetary support, because that's how our nonprofits really survive in the area. Fantastic. And when we look at the overall Give campaign, you've been working with it, I'm guessing, for a while. What makes the Give campaign so impactful?
I think it was so eloquently stated by both Tom and Tanya earlier that with this year we have 78 nonprofits in the campaign, and over the years we're over 200 that have participated in the campaign, and we've been doing it since 2009. You mentioned in your intro that we've had over 97,000 donations. I'm sure we're well over 100,000 by the end of this one. That it just really mobilizes the community and the nonprofit groups in our community. We have some amazing nonprofit groups. Just listening to the passion of Tom and Tanya and the impact that their organizations have, and that's just two of the 78 that are in the campaign this year.
And if listeners want to find out more information about the campaign, where should they go?
The best, especially good, today's the last day as we're hitting 12/31 and finally get rid of 2020 tonight. And so the best way would be to, right? I know, hear that, is indiegive.com is our webpage. We've got a great webpage, and we break it down into, I actually had a text chain with a bunch of friends where we were talking about how to give at the end of this year. And we break it down in the campaign into, it's hard to find the nonprofits, to find what you're passionate about, and to find ones that you know what they're doing, that it's the right nonprofit, and they're doing the work that they say they're doing. So we have a review committee every year that goes over every single group that applies to the campaign. We break them up into groups on the webpage. There's 11 different categories, so you can look for what your passion is and make that donation on the webpage.
Right, and find out ways that there are matching grants so that your dollars might be doubled in some cases with those matching grants, and that enables you to stretch your giving dollars farther. I love it when I hear that there's a matching grant available, because then I'm thinking, you know, I can afford this to give this, but really what the nonprofit that I'm targeting is going to receive is double that because of a match. That always makes me feel better about giving more, you know, because it's a way to double your money. So let's just mention again, Tim Krantz has been talking about the Give campaign. We've been talking with Tim, as well as Tanya Nifong and Tom Shepard, who had to ring off, Tanya with the ARC, the Pikes Peak region, Tom with the Youth Documentary Academy. Both of those guests sharing so eloquently what makes their nonprofits churn and help and support those in need in our community, those who may be seeking outlets like with the Youth Documentary Academy, and then Tom's group, the Give campaign, part of the nonprofit civic arm, we should say, of the Colorado Publishing House, which represents, of course, the Colorado Springs Independent, Colorado Springs Business Journal, and the Pikes Peak Bulletin. Again, if you've just been joining us, the Give campaign is the year-end philanthropic initiative that is created to encourage everyone in the Pikes Peak region to give back and get involved with local nonprofits. I mean, when you're talking about helping, like you said, Tim, over 200 local nonprofits over these years raise so many millions of dollars from various donations, it really is a way of giving back, of making this community stronger, and of showing support during what has been a very dark time. In our final minute, Tim, would you like to just share one final thought with our listeners?
Yeah, I wanted to reinforce something you mentioned earlier, that it's not the size of the donation, and it's not necessarily even specifically a monetary donation. I mean, we love the monetary donations because that allows so much more for the nonprofits, but they also need time. So for folks that it's a tough year, and we're finally kicking into the next one, and hopefully it'll be a much better one. But if you don't have the means, and many of us don't, to donate your money, donating time is also hugely helpful to all these nonprofits and another way to take part and to help in the community.
Right. And that's something that doesn't have a time limit on it. You don't have to do it by midnight tonight. Right. You can keep on doing it all the way into the new year and the years ahead. I'd like to thank you, Tim, for joining us this morning. I think our other guests have rung off, but thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. And if people would like to find out more about the Give campaign, go to IndieGive.com. And there you'll also find the listings for the nonprofits that we've been featuring today on The Extra, the ARC of the Pikes Peak region, and the Youth Documentary Academy. I'll make sure to get those individual links up on our podcast page as well. So if listeners want to go there when you get a chance to check your computers or check your phones, then be sure to do so. I'd like to thank Tim, Tom, and Tanya for joining us today on The Extra.